You're listening to The Late Debate with Cormac O'Hara standing in this evening for Audrey. Joining me in studio is Eamon O'Keefe, Teachta Dála with Fianna Fáil, Tom Kitt, former Fianna Fáil TD and Chief Whip, Deirdre Heaney, Dublin City Councillor with Fianna Fáil, Pat Leahy, Political Editor of the Sunday Business Post, and Noel Whelan, Barrister, Political Analyst and Fianna Fáil Historian. You can contact the programme this evening by text 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie. And you can tweet or engage with us on Twitter, Late Debate RTE. You can have the ECR group, but you can't have Fianna Fáil. That was basically Micheál Martin's message to MEP Brian Crowley yesterday. After it emerged, he had left the ALDE group in the European Parliament and joined the European Conservative and Reformist group. However, his treatment of Brian Crowley has caused more rumblings of discontent within the party about Micheál Martin's leadership. Eamon O'Keefe, some people in the party are annoyed at this and how it was handled.
No, there was a robust debate, if I might say so, led off by myself. Micheál Martin spoke and he outlined his position. And as you'd expect at a meeting, there was an opportunity then to make a contribution. And I was the first to speak. And I was very surprised that all this came out afterwards, because I always thought that parliamentary party meetings were meant to be confidential.
They're not that.
But on the other hand, I often think we'd be better off getting the media in officially and putting them sitting at the back of the room, because at least they get the true version of what happened.
Tell us what you said.
As long as attendance wouldn't be compulsory. You,
since the version was out before I was out of the meeting, what basically happened was he outlined that we should remain with the ALDE group, and then the question about the status of Brian Crowley in the party came up. And I said very, very simply that in my view, in view of the fact that Brian Crowley was in hospital and couldn't attend the parliamentary party, that the issue of what would happen to Brian Crowley should just be deferred until Brian Crowley was well enough to attend the parliamentary party to make his case of a kind of a natural justice approach. It was very much a procedural issue, and that then he'd come in and outline why he had done what he had done, and then we'd make our decision. Now, it was just about procedure, not a big row. I have had hundreds of meetings from the time I got involved in meetings at 18 years of age, made points. They've always been accepted not to have any wider agenda than the point I made. And
but there, there was a big row about the point you made, wasn't there?
No, there was a very, very civilised debate. But there were people on different views. Some sided with the view I took, that that was the better course of procedure. And some said, no, we need to do it now and get it over with. And that was just a matter of opinion. And at the end, those who decided that the decision would be taken there and then were in the majority. In fact, the formulation was a little bit more subtle than that. It said that he had decided. I don't know if the public are fully aware of the subtlety.
But Tom Kitt, wasn't that a fair point? Was it not odd, at the very least, to convene a meeting of the party about Brian Crowley, with Brian Crowley not being there in his absence, which led to his expulsion?
I'm outside now looking in, and I suppose thanks, Eamon, for enlightening us on what happened. As you rightly said, in my time as well, you know, the stories of parliamentary parties were public knowledge. So I think we all accept that. But coming back to your question, if I was at the meeting, I would have supported Micheál Martin for a number of reasons. I think, and we just at the outset, you discussed Micheál Martin and his leadership, etc. And the questions have been mentioned in the past regarding his decisiveness. Well, surely, you know, one can't argue but that he was decisive in this
was
instance.
He unfair?
I don't think he was unfair. I'm saying this as somebody who would have known Brian Crowley well over the years, would have been friendly with him. I haven't seen him for some time. But as Micheál Martin and others have, Seán O'Farrell and the chairman of the party have said, Brian effectively expelled himself by his actions. He removed himself from the parliamentary party. So that was a fact. So quite frankly, all they
he
were
was
doing...
was tried in his absence.
But look, you know, I mean, what was the point in... I think, you know... What was the point in asking for a deferral and asking... is Eamon suggesting that we ask Brian, that the parliamentary party would ask Brian to come in and explain his position? Are they suggesting that he would come back and maybe change his mind? Are they suggesting that he would ask the parliamentary party that they should all join the ECR? So, you know, I would suggest that's a little bit of game playing, with all due respect. There's always a little bit of sniping at the heels of the leader. I think there's a bit of that going on. I, quite frankly, would prefer if it didn't happen.
Tom, that's where I'm coming from. At 23 years of age, I became manager of a co-op. I was working for a voluntary committee We were in very tough financial situations. And I made a lot of mistakes, but I learned one thing over life, and this is the only issue involved here. It's a process, and patience were the way to bring change about. And I look at developments we got involved in near where I live, and quite substantial development where we brought the community with us. And then I look at other developments in the west of Ireland where the community were against them. And I say that that little patience that I learned. So there was no other agenda than my life's experience that I bring to the parliamentary party as somebody who has been for many years in decision-making roles, in the lead decision-making roles. And I think it's not unreasonable that I would bring my view on best process to a decision like this in the privacy of the parliamentary party, and I said nothing about the debate when I came out.
And you say that the process was unfair. But let me bring in Eamon. If Eamon says to me
there was no other agenda, I accept that, Eamon. But I'm saying in general, I'm going back from my experience in the parliamentary party, certain issues arise and there are agendas. That's, you know, that's a reality of politics. Anybody who studies politics, I'm sure our journalist friends and my grandeur would agree. There are people, and I accept your word, Eamon, in what you've just said, but there are people who will use certain situations to have a go. And we have a small parliamentary party right now, and we have a person who is trying his best to bring it forward. And he's had a success in the local elections. Adair had been one of the successes, but I'm suggesting that there are moments.
Was Brian Crowley having a go at Micheál Martin?
Look, well, what's happened between Brian and Micheál Martin, obviously, is some of the details. I'm not quite sure. I don't understand it. I do not understand it because there were issues. There were supposedly issues.
Let me bring in Noel Whelan.
There were supposedly issues over the presidency.
What's the process to expel Brian Crowley, fair or not?
Hold on. Of course, the lawyer in me would say before you impose a sanction, you have to give the person an opportunity to be heard. But first and foremost, this was a political process. This was a political decision that Brian Crowley had put himself outside of the fold by leaving the Liberal group and joining this new entity. Brian Crowley did that without any regard to party processes. He did not bring that proposal to the parliamentary party. He presented on Sunday night Micheál Martin with a fait accompli, I'm off. The parliamentary party on Wednesday, albeit in his absence because he was in hospital, came to the view, you're gone then.
Well, we all know why he threw him out without due process. He's not thrown out of the party.
Firstly, that's misreporting. He's the whip, the parliamentary party whip is removed from him.
Yeah.
And on pure grounds that he has joined another parliamentary group, then he can't be bound by the Fianna Fáil whip anyway. So
but
that
did,
makes
did
sense.
Did Micheál Martin impose a completely unfair process here? The man is in hospital. It was asked at the meeting that the meeting would be deferred.
The man excluded himself.
It wasn't.
Yeah, because it would have been, you know well, you'd be sitting here saying to panels tonight that Micheál Martin was weak not dealing with the Brian Crowley issue at the parliamentary party meeting.
The meeting wasn't
called to throw him out. It was the weekly parliamentary party meeting. Micheál Martin wasn't going to win either way on that argument. Brian Crowley put himself outside of
but the
fold.
But the fact of the matter, Noel Whelan, is, and I can't believe in one way that you're saying this, being a barrister.
Because it's not a legal issue. It's a political process.
He was thrown out without hearing one syllable
from Brian
Crowley.
No, it's not true to say he wasn't
here. At the meeting, that's true.
It's not true to say there wasn't a syllable heard from Brian Crowley. Brian Crowley issued a public statement.
At the meeting, it's true.
He issued a public statement, which was open to the meeting. And he had spoken to the leader, who presumably reported to the meeting. But more importantly, he had spoken with his wheels, he had joined a new political entity in the European Parliament. The issue was over. The issue was closed.
Would you allow a court to convict and sentence
your
client?
No, of course I wouldn't. But this wasn't a court. This was a party, parliamentary party decision process. Come on.
We all know why they took the action that they did at the time that they did. Because if they didn't, it would make Micheál Martin look weak and undermine his authority even further among his own parliamentary party. And because they didn't hear them, that's why they didn't hear from Brian Crowley. That's why they chose the formula of words that they did, to say that he had removed himself rather than they were removing him. I mean, the broader issue, it seems to me, is less procedural than substantial. Yeah. And it's about Micheál Martin's authority within his parliamentary party,
We'll get to that, but I put it to you, it's only, it's less procedural than substantial now because we haven't heard Brian Crowley speak on the matter. We haven't heard from Brian Crowley since that meeting.
But what on earth could Brian Crowley say?
That I wasn't heard, that's what he could say.
But the parliamentary party could say we weren't heard on the decision either.
But he issued a statement. He was heard. He issued a statement and chose not to follow, follow it up.
Is that okay, before I bring in Deirdre Heaney, is that okay that he did issue a statement? Everybody knew where the cars fell. Everybody knew the lie of the land. Everybody knew the fait accompli that he had presented Micheál Martin with.
Yeah, well, there's a long history and complicated history here in that we were in a different group and we swapped over to the Aldi group. And I think it's well known that some of the MEPs weren't overjoyed about that for some reason that I don't understand. To be quite honest now, there's one thing maybe my colleagues here are much more au fait with this. And despite the fact that I visited the European Parliament a good few times, I don't understand the operation of the European Parliament in terms of groups and parties or whatever. And are they parties? Are they groups?
Nobody does.
Are you tied in or are you not tied in? What does it mean? Has it any implications whatsoever? Who you're with or what you're with? And so on. So I just don't understand this. I'd love to get somebody actually to come in. And that's the first thing I'd like a rundown on. What does all of this mean, or does it mean anything at all? Certainly, I think if we went out to my members all around the country of Fianna Fáil, to the members of my own constituency, for example, with 800 members, and I think if I said to them, you know, you're all members of ALDE, they would have wondered, was it a supermarket? And I don't think anybody was aware that they were members of ALDE. So I think that, you know, there were lots of grey issues here, but all I did was make a very reasonable point at a meeting. It was not, I certainly didn't make it public. I don't talk about what happens in parliamentary parties. But I came out and found out that not only had what we've been saying said, but actually the names were given. So I'm now speaking on it because of that.
Okay, Deirdre Heaney,
and as far as I was concerned, when the meeting was over, as I normally do, and I have fought up and down the years at meetings with people, and then when the decision was taken, rode in with the decision.
Deirdre Heaney, do you agree regarding the meeting, regarding the procedures with Eamon O'Keefe or Micheál Martin?
Well, first of all, can I say that unfortunately I don't have the privilege of being present at a parliamentary party meeting. I look forward to the day when I am able to be at a parliamentary party meeting. And secondly, I'd like to say that I do wish Brian Crowley a recovery. You know, we're all aware that the man is unwell. So, you know, we all want him to recover. But in terms of Eamon's view, you know, Eamon is entitled to hold a view as well as Tom and everybody else around the table. But the fact of the matter is, as I see it, that Brian Crowley apparently said that there was some difficulty with a staffing issue in the grouping, the ALDE grouping, and that the other grouping that he's moved towards was prepared to offer him some kind of a better deal in staffing matters. Now, regardless of what the issue is or was, and I still am not clear on why he did what he did, the fact of the matter is he excluded himself, I believe, from the party whip as a result of his actions.
Why are you not clear?
Sorry?
Why are you not clear on all of those issues?
Well, it's very unclear. I haven't spoken to Brian Crowley about it.
You haven't heard Brian Crowley?
I'm not finished. I haven't spoken to Brian Crowley, but certainly if I was in a position where I was unhappy with the way matters were working out, I would speak to my colleagues. I would certainly approach some of my colleagues.
He doesn't have colleagues in Europe.
Well,
now.
Sorry, I'm talking about in the Fianna Fáil party. I would have approached some of my colleagues. I wouldn't come blindly into a city council group meeting and announce something without having spoken to my colleagues about it. I wouldn't put them on the spot. And I think that with the actions that he took, and I, you know, I'm totally confused as to what benefits there are for Brian as a result of the actions. But with the actions that he took, I think he left the parliamentary party and the party leader, Micheál Martin, with no choice but to do what they did yesterday, which was at the weekly meeting, come to the decision that they believe that he forfeited his own membership. But can I say, Cormac, that if tomorrow, if Micheál Martin had have agreed with some of the speakers at the meeting to say, listen, we should give Brian Crowley the opportunity to speak. And it's a very, very, you know, fair system to allow people to speak at parliamentary party meetings. But if that was the case and you had this programme tonight and you had somebody from Fine Gael and you had somebody from Sinn Féin and you had somebody from the Labour Party and you had an independent person sitting to my right and you had me here, anything at all we discussed, the four people to my right would say, hold on a second, your MEP in Europe is a member of such and such a grouping, and that's totally at variance with what you're saying. So it wouldn't really have been feasible, to be fair, to let the thing drag on. You know, there's other business that has to be dealt with, and I think it's unfortunate, and everybody in the parliamentary Party and across certainly any of the people that I've spoken to, my own area in Clontarf and Dublin, Bay North, they're upset because they're very, very kind of fond of, okay, of the man, and he's very highly thought of.
But
you must remember as well, Brian, or Cormac, that if you run for Fianna Fáil under the Fianna Fáil banner, that's who you were elected under, and that was the agreement. The ALDE group.
Okay,
was the
agreement. But I understand that. But it does, Pat Leahy, raise the question about the groupings within the European Parliament. And Eamon O'Keefe alluded to it there. Can you have odd bedfellows within these groupings? Does it really matter? Is it like a party structure, or can you have something like you do in the technical group within the Dáil, Shane Ross and Mick Wallace, for example?
Yeah, that's more, I think, more of a better analogy, because there's no whip in the European Parliament. Where it does matter, I suppose, is in the division of committee chairs and posts of responsibility. And Deirdre alluded to staff, and I gather there was some staffing element in that, though I'm not sure it was the decisive thing. But I mean, the basic flaw of the European Parliament system is that people don't feel part of a European demos, a European public sphere. That's why there aren't pan-European parties, however some may claim to be. There are groupings of national political parties.
So can I bring it back to the Brian Crowley discussion? Could he be within the ECR and still hold true to his principles? There's no whip. It's not like a party.
Well, I guess not to the principle of staying with the people whom you said you were elected to represent, I suppose.
But if it's just a resource issue, as he claims in the statement, could he stand true to Fianna Fáil principles and still be within the grouping of ECR?
I suppose the great thing about Fianna Fáil principles is you can do anything and claim to be still standing by Fianna Fáil principles. But that's a bigger question,
Is that a fair question?
Just from my own perspective, having been an active member of the party, obviously at parliamentary level and a ministerial level, and having been a minister state for European affairs, I would feel personally that it was very important that when you go to Europe, if you are wearing a certain badge, you're wearing certain colours, if you like. In this case, Fianna Fáil were wearing the liberal democratic principle, which is really their principles that they would be espousing, a free trade, private sector, decentralisation in certain states, freedom, general freedoms of every level, a liberal agenda, if you like. Some aspects I understand, perhaps on a social side, that Brian might have been uncomfortable with. So that's specific.
Yeah,
to finish, Cormac, now you're moving from wearing that particular badge, if you like, to a racist group, a group that is made up. You're right. Perhaps it doesn't make a huge difference on voting practicalities, but there is an identity issue there. And at a time...
But it's a crucial question, though, because if Brian Crowley could stand true and hold true to his Fianna Fáil principles within this grouping, surely it obviates the need to expel him in his absence from the parliamentary party.
Well, you know, as I said, I'm looking at it at a principle level, and I think it was said, I heard somebody said today that Jack Lynch and Paddy Hillary would turn in their graves if they realised that Brian Crowley, despite the fact that he got a massive vote and accepting the fact that he got a huge vote, has joined a particular group with values that were absolutely opposed to the values that Fianna Fáil would espouse.
Let me bring in Noel Whelan first on that.
Well, firstly, let's remember the decision to join the Liberal group by Fianna Fáil in 2009 was actually made by the parliamentary party. Which I assume, well, it was. I remember it well.
We were informed. It wasn't by the cabinet. We were informed. It was not made by the parliamentary.
Well, it may have been informed. Unanimously approved, Eamon, and there perhaps might have been the opportunity to speak. But you were a member of that parliamentary party, and Tom was a member of that parliamentary party at the time.
We were told.
So it wasn't left to the MEP group to decide which group they would be, for a very good reason, because they are inevitably, every human being is going to join the group where they see greater number of positions or personnel or financial resources for themselves. And that's why part of it. I think it's whereas some of the newer groups in the European Parliament could be characterised as technical groups or broad groups. In fairness, the Christian Democrat, which is now the EPP, the Social Democrats, which is the Socialist group, and the Liberals are long-standing groups within the European Parliament, which were collections of similar-minded parties in each of their jurisdictions. Enda Kenny, before he goes to the European Summit, the same morning can sit around with the Prime Ministers with half the prime ministers of Europe because they're members of the EPP, the European People's Party.
Which would be the party that Fianna Fáil would be presumably most...
As a matter of historical record, it's the one Fianna Fáil wanted to join.
Yes.
But by the time Brian Lenihan and others who were then indirectly elected members of the European Parliament in the mid-70s got to Brussels, Fine Gael had wiped their eye and pulled a fast one and joined the EPP. And they wouldn't accept two parties from the same country, or at least two parties that were as competitive as Fianna Fáil.
So that's the history of the grouping in Fianna Fáil. But this merely brings up, does it not, Micheál Martin's leadership and discontent within the party about Micheál Martin's leadership. And there have been rumblings, continuous rumblings. Listen to John McGuinness speak just after the election, as it happened, at his dismay at Fianna Fáil's direction.
There's 20 of us in Leinster House in terms of elected TDs. And if the direction that's needed is not recognised, then certainly there will be a challenge to the Fianna Fáil leadership.
Eamon O'Keefe, how many people within Fianna Fáil, the parliamentary party, are upset, dismayed at the leadership?
Well, except for John there, I don't think there's anybody. That's not the issue. The issue here was purely that, you know, somebody's making a big row of the fact that I raised a procedural issue and suggested something would be done in a way that I would have done it from experience, because I always believed that a decision made with a good process and taking your time, and let those who want to say you're indecisive. But what I've found over the years, if you want to be a strong leader, get as many people on board, no matter how long it takes, rather than making quick decisions and maybe not listening to every side of the debate. And therefore, people on the outside always want to kind of, you know, real quick decision. They actually often become the divisive leaders. Micheál is generally an inclusive leader. But what I'm saying is the drive for quick decisions and don't listen to anybody and come in and dictate actually creates discontent.
The reason I have
a wry smile on my face, let me share a historical story with you. It's not surprising, given Eamon's genes, that he believes in long meetings that would bring everybody on board. The famous story told by Owen Ryan, when Sean Lamass became leader after Eamon de Valera, national executive meetings under de Valera would take about 4.5 hours. Under Lamass, they used to take about 45 minutes. The first item on the agenda always was threats of resignation from officers around the country. And de Valera would set up an inquiry and a delegation for the national executive to meet each person who threatened to resign and report on it for several meetings afterwards. The first time it was mentioned that when Lamass chaired a meeting, he said, "We must assume the man owes his mind, send him a letter of regrets, resignation accepted," and all the threats of resignation tried up. So there's a happy course between long meetings and short meetings,
Eamon O'Keefe right, Nolwenn? Is John McGuinness the only man who's upset with the leadership at the moment?
John McGuinness is not the only person who is unhappy with the leadership of Micheál Martin at the moment. But but everybody who's not the leader is always unhappy with the leadership.
That's not true. That's
the first point. You have a combination of people, and remember, you're now a very much diminished parliamentary party in numbers and otherwise, and you have a combination of people who inevitably feel they would do a better job. I think there were real tensions before the local and European elections. I think some of those tensions are around staffing and advising around Micheál Martin, and a failure of Micheál Martin to engage, even communicate, it seems, with some of his TDs and senators. But the reality is that a lot of that has now been resolved by the outcomes of the local election in particular.
Has it really, Patley?
And by the inevitable onset of
John McGuinness is in a minority of one.
He's in a minority of one in that he was prepared to speak out on the record at the time. But he's not in a minority of one, certainly, in his willingness to voice criticisms of Micheál Martin's leadership. And I think John McGuinness might have made those points when it wasn't clear that Fianna Fáil were going to do a lot better in the local elections than many people had expected and that polls predicted.
So he just staved off, Micheál Martin staved off public discontent within the party because of the local elections, is that right?
He did, yeah.
So for instance, if he had
done significantly poorer in the local elections, we would be having a very different conversation now, I think, and there would have been a very different conversation in Fianna Fáil since that, had those election results been worse. But that's what election results do in politics. Yeah. They change the context. And what the local elections have done, notwithstanding the mini disaster of the European elections, compounded now by Brian Crowley's decision to leave the group in Europe, what the local election results have done is secured Micheál Martin's leadership until the next general election,
I think.
But he has
significant fundamental difficulties since his leadership began. For example, Mary Hanafin contested the local elections against Micheál Martin's wishes. He only had 13 members of his parliamentary party support the abortion bill.
He has a very real lack of authority within his own parliamentary party. This is one of the remarkable things about the situation that faces Fianna Fáil at the moment. 3 years ago, we were unclear as to whether Fianna Fáil would survive as a political entity, whether it would wither and die or whether it would manage to regroup and resuscitate itself. Now, in part because Micheál Martin, according to the polls, is a relatively popular political leader, the party has stabilised itself. It has grown back where, to the astonishment of many, it is now the largest party of local government after the local elections. If you told us that was going to happen 3 years ago, we would have said you are mad. But it seems to me that that has created, and that process has created, a series of new problems for Micheál Martin. He has little authority, and it seems to me no discipline among his parliamentary party. So while he's doing relatively well at the polls, among his own people, they continue to inflict damage
on him. But his authority, Tom Kidd, surely was damaged by the vote on the protection of life during pregnancy bill.
Well, I agree with Pat that the local elections has been a very good story for Micheál. And equally, I personally think he's a good public performer. He's connecting well with the public. Now, going back, actually, that vote on the protection of life during pregnancy bill is a very interesting story about Fianna Fáil as well. And I think it shows you one of the challenges that he faces as leader. Because if you look at it, he got support. I would have agreed with his position, which is supporting the government on that particular bill. He got support from 5 TDs on that occasion. So that means there were 13 Fianna Fáil TDs opposed. Now, he was forced to allow a free vote. But if you like, that's a challenge that he had to deal with. And he gave the free vote and he moved on. But he was forced into the vote.
It was from a position of weakness rather than...
But I would have... My view on this part would be very simple. That he was honest about his own views. He didn't play any behind-the-scenes sort of games on this issue. He came up front on it. I think there's an honesty about that that people like. And there was another issue.
Is that weak leadership?
I don't see that. You see, I think politics is... It's when you're engaging with people, when you listen to what people say about that kind of issue... Maybe a journalist might say this is weak. I don't know how else he could have handled it. This is open politics, and it's a new politics to a certain extent.
He failed to convince his own party to vote in a particular way.
Well, you see, sorry, coming back to that fundamental point, and I think this is a reality too that we have to face up to, that there is a strong conservative element to Fianna Fáil, and that's the reality. So how can you convince people? And
I think new politics would have been saying at the outset, this is a matter of conscience for people within our party and without it. So I'm going to allow a conscience vote on that. I'm not going to try and persuade my TDs to do one thing or the other. I'm not going to try and whip them. I'm going to allow a vote of conscience. That would have been new politics. What he actually did was he tried to do old politics, and then he admitted his own weakness.
Well, okay, to a certain extent, it played out, Pat. I accept it. At the initial stages, it could have been handled better. But I think as it played out, in my view, it was an open book what was going on. My read of it is, and still the same, that there's a strong element of conservatism within the party. It was there during contraception debates.
But is that the problem? Is that the problem then?
He was given the wrong end of the stick in trying to deal with it, but he's dealt with it. I do accept at the initial stage it could have been handled
better. Is that the problem, Deirdre Heaney, that you have a liberal, forward-looking leader of Fianna Fáil with a rump of conservative TDs behind them?
Well, firstly, can I say that my view on the way Micheál Martin handled the vote on the government legislation was a very brave decision to allow a free vote. I think it's the first time in the history of our party that such a free vote was allowed. And I hope that it's something that we will continue to do into the future, where situations of, you know, situations on issues of serious importance to people's views on matters such as abortion would be allowed. I would have disagreed with Micheál Martin's view. He could be right, I could be wrong. But at the same time, not everybody in Fianna Fáil thinks the same about every single issue. And the fact of the matter was...
They did, on most occasions in the past.
The fact of the matter was that I believe he took a brave decision.
So should he do the same on gay marriage next year, do you think?
Well, I wouldn't have any difficulty with that. No, I wouldn't. If people have very, very strong views on issues, who am I to tell people how they should vote in a certain way? I certainly think that the fact that Micheál allowed a free vote on the abortion legislation, I think it leaves the space open for the same.
Is this a new way forward for Fianna Fáil? Well,
I've long been an advocate of relaxing the party whip system, and particularly when it comes to issues of conscience, votes or the freedom to vote in accordance with conscience are standard practice in most Western democracies. But I agree with Pat's analysis that would have been significant and groundbreaking if Micheál Martin had come up front before the issue and said, I'm going to allow a free vote, or change the parliamentary party rules to allow a free vote on a series of issues of conscience. Instead, he was forced into this position by the fact that he couldn't carry his party on his own view of it. Now, Tom is correct. When it comes to issues of conscience, you're going to have... I mean, many people were writing up at the time that Enda Kenny's decision to expel Lucinda Creighton and others for breaching that was big and decisive. It actually may turn out to be one of the most disastrous decisions he ever made, when you allow for the fact that they lost 100 councillors in the general election. In the local election. When it comes to the general election, Fine Gael voters might be looking for somewhere else to go, and there may be some loosely formed alternative to that purpose. But I think that's been part of the difficulty. Pat had a colourful piece on Sunday called in the Business Post called "The Gang Who Couldn't Shoot Straight," talking about the government. And I think that you could apply that at times to Micheál Martin's leadership, that at times it looked like on the implementation of stuff or on the strategy around the presidential election or the European elections this time or around that vote on the abortion, that they just can't shoot straight and get it right.
Is that weak leadership then, in your opinion?
Well, it is less than optimum, less than perfect. But you have to put that in the wider context. And the bigger, wider context is Fianna Fáil survives now. Which is not something that could necessarily have been presumed 3 or 4 years ago. Fianna Fáil is 49 seats up in the local elections now, which is not something that could have been presumed 3 or 4 years ago. Fianna Fáil's organisation is taking over and a little bit more now, which is not something that could be. And you have to look at Micheál Martin's leadership in that context, at least.
Okay, so...
Now, if there were 2 years left to the end of term... And he had a bad local elections. And again, as Pat suggested, people might have said that's well and good to this point. But what matters now is the next general election. But I think the outcomes of the elections and the narrowing of the timescale to the general election means his leadership.
Okay, I'll have to take a break. But first, a number of your texts to 51551. Mary says, as one who voted for Brian Crowley, I trust that he knows what group he wants to join. I don't see anything wrong with the MEPs being sceptical of the EU while at the same time working for his constituents. What values do Fianna Fáil espouse? She says, another texter says, the speed at which Crowley was culled by Micheál Martin and the Fianna Fáil party, and the consensual antipathy in the media to the politically incorrect Eurogroup he has defected to, is further proof of the ultra-liberal cesspit this country is. Catherine Coleman says, we're talking about consulting with Brian. Remember, Brian Crowley had the opportunity to consult us, the voters, by declaring his decision prior to the election. He didn't do that. As someone who has voted for Brian Crowley since he first ran, I am disgusted with him. Brian may well have a personal vote. Mine was a Fianna Fáil vote, which I was happy to give him. I had the right to have been fully informed, she says. And finally, Jim in Clontarf says, Cormac, did Fianna Fáil not notice that in the EU elections, Brian Crowley used a different poster style and colour than all the other Fianna Fáil candidates in the country, suggesting that he may have stayed with the party for the sake of Fianna Fáil and the elections. If he was a Fianna Fáil candidate, why did he not support his running mate? We'll have more discussion after the break. You're welcome back to the late debate. You can text us 51551. I'm joined this evening, it's Cormac O'Hara here in for Audrey this evening. I'm joined by Eamon O'Queeve of Fianna Fáil, Tom Kidd, former TD and Chief Whip. They're all Fianna Fáil this evening. Deirdre Heaney, Dublin City Councillor. Pat Leahy, political editor of the Sunday Business Post, not Fianna Fáil. And Noel Whelan, barrister, political analyst and Fianna Fáil historian. We're talking about the leadership of Fianna Fáil. And Eamon O'Queeve, you're still annoyed, are you not, about the meeting, the Uno Duce, Una Voce, and the procedures. You were talking about it during the break.
No, no, what I'm saying is that that seems to be the policy being put forward by some of the commentators here. But I was slightly amused by something that Noel Whelan said. And I think, Noel, you shouldn't let prejudice stand in a way of analysis. You compared De Valera's style of leadership to Lamas, and Lamas was a very fine man. But I think the record would show that De Valera was seen as a very strong leader, that he led Fianna Fáil for 33 years. He built the strongest, most cohesive, most successful political party that not only probably existed in this country, but in many, many other countries. And therefore, I think you'd have to then say there might have been a lot of method to the way he held some very, very strong characters together throughout the party and a huge membership together and huge loyalty throughout the country. And, you know, I think what people didn't realise was that under this veneer of agreement that was there on the outside was this great ability to be heard, to have, and I remember him well, and he certainly, the one thing growing up, knowing him well, and the one thing we learned from him is you could have any view as long as it was your own. And he would tolerate any view and he would engage with you irrespective of what your view was. And therefore,
on the back of that, some people within Fianna Fáil would say it's a pity we don't have a relation of De Valera now to lead the party.
Some people would say that. But what I'm saying is, all I'm saying is, I found out from first principles, because I would have started with the idea, let's be decisive and get on with it. I learned from first principles over a long period because, as I said, at 23 years of age, I became a manager subject to a voluntary committee, and I learnt patience pays, inclusivity pays, and really listening pays, and that's my style of leadership. And I think people would, in the area that I live, who know me best, would say, you know, that I was quite a strong leader. But what I think they would also hope, the people close to me, is that they always got this great freedom to express themselves and to have their point heard and to take our time and not be rushed to decisions.
That's
just a style
like
issue, but it's a very effective style. And history would tell you, Noel, that in fact, you know, it's wrong to denigrate De Valera's style of leadership because of what.
But Eamon, this sounds like the hustings of Fianna Fáil leadership contest. This, you're talking about your style of leadership. This sounds.
I'm not denigrating the De Valera style of leadership, but I'm not sure it is doable in the age of 24/7 media and news management, let alone the tweets that tell what happens in the parliamentary party before you leave the room. I mean, the study of leadership styles, there's a whole industry of literature on it. I'm just thinking that the political environment has now changed. And
Tom Kidd wants to get in there.
No, I just again, I would share Eamon's view that, you know, robust debate within the parliament party is very healthy. But I cannot help but ask Eamon a question. Would Eamon De Valera have tolerated Eamon O'Queeve opposing the party on the European Fiscal Compact Treaty in outside the parliamentary party, Eamon? And I mean, it's a valid point because it's valid in the context of Micheál Martin's leadership that you were deputy leader. This is after my time, and I'm just speaking as an observer, and I may not know the true facts, but you were deputy leader, opposed this outside the parliamentary party, and lost the deputy leadership position.
No, that is the other way around. You've got the other way around. First of all, I've never thrown off the parliamentary party.
No, you lost the deputy leadership.
I lost the deputy leadership in amazing circumstances, but that was Micheál's decision because we met in the morning and he said we leave it till after the audit. And I got a phone call at 4 o'clock that afternoon saying you're gone. I understand the press release was issued beforehand, but that's his call. Yeah. But the reality was that I had been asked a question on the television about the fiscal treaty, and I said exactly what Joan Burton, a cabinet minister, said about the fiscal treaty. Micheál didn't like it and he fired me and good luck to him. And I took it on the chin and I was sacked as deputy leader, sacked out of the front bench of the party, and I walked away and said, well, that's your decision, you're the boss.
But you're clearly unhappy with that. And John McGuinness is unhappy with the style of leadership that Micheál Martin presents to the party. But you're unhappy with the procedures of the party yesterday.
Well, I was unhappy.
Also unhappy with the way you were dispensed with as deputy leader.
Well, just only because we discussed it at lunchtime, and my understanding was that it was to be left over until after the oral session. In fact, there's witnesses to that, because at 4 o'clock that evening, there were some people, constituents of mine, including County Councillor Up, and we were talking in the restaurant, and I was telling them what we had agreed, and they couldn't believe it when they got as far as Kinnegad to be told us. I was no longer deputy leader because they had left me a half an hour earlier.
Eamon O'Keefe, you're saying everything. You're saying everything, but that you don't agree with his style of leadership this evening.
Well, what I'm saying is, we all have different styles and we're entitled to our styles. And all I'm saying is that I was entitled to at the parliamentary party, which seems to be, by certain people within Fianna Fáil, been spun against continuously. I was entitled to make my point the other day that I thought it was reasonable to let Brian Crowley, who was a long-standing member of the party, who had been elected and who was ill in hospital, to at least have the courtesy. What difference did it make if we had to wait a fortnight? And to be quite honest, if the chattering classes and the media, because I don't think the rest of the country were too concerned one way or the other about this issue, to be quite honest about it, I don't think anybody that I know of in the great, ordinary, unwashed people of Ireland are particularly concerned what supermarket they belong to in the European Union, whether it's Aldi, Lidl, Nest, Tesco, whatever the hell, because they don't even know they exist. And now, I say one thing that was said here? And again, you see, we need to get our facts correct. In the election before last, we stood as members of one party, and in fact, it was interesting the reference to Hillary and, you know, being with the Liberals, because in fact they joined us in the Golas, which are, you know, supposedly on the right. But the actual thing was, we stood with one party, and halfway through, the three members, because it is the members that have to sign up in the grouping. It is not, by the way, the headquarters in Dublin. The members have to sign up in the grouping in the parliamentary party. Halfway through the term, the three members that we had went and said, we're leaving one group and we're going into another group. And they didn't go back to the electorate about that. They just changed group. And some people could have said that's a bit disappointing because you got elected under one group and you went into another group. But it was accepted. It wasn't that of that great moment. And I don't think it is.
Can I ask you, Pat Leahy, in terms of Micheál Martin's leadership and the point, I think it's you, but somebody made before the break that he is, in the context, Noel Whelan, in the context of the last election in 2011, the general election, and where Fianna Fáil was, that Micheál Martin stabilised the party and, in effect, grew the party. But can he grow the party further? Is he the man to lead further growth for Fianna Fáil? Because they still have no TD in Dublin, despite a number of by-elections, and now they have no MEP.
They've no MEP, they've no TD in Dublin. They have the problems of history, which will be of recent history, which will be ventilated again at the banking inquiry. And, you know, for the remarkable recovery that they have made since 2011, it's important not to overestimate that either. At every election held since the party was founded, or near enough since the party was founded, it got 40% or 39% or significantly more than that. It got 17% at the last election. It got 24-25 at the local elections just recently passed. So it has shed an awful lot of votes. I think there's there are some interesting things happening in Fianna Fáil. There's a couple of very interesting questions about Fianna Fáil at the moment. None of them relate to Brian Crowley or what European group he is in. I get the sense that while Fianna Fáil has lost its fear of extinction, that almost psychologically, as an organisation, much of it has not adapted to the change that has been wrought on Irish politics by the recession and by Fianna Fáil in particular. For several decades, the study of Irish politics began and almost ended with Fianna Fáil. The single biggest question in Irish politics was always about Fianna Fáil. If the party wasn't in government, it was only briefly out of government. Now, those days are over. And I think that Fianna Fáil addresses itself now to a political marketplace that is completely changed. And I'm not sure that Micheál Martin or the party as a whole has begun to really address those questions.
The question is, I suppose, Noel Whelan, does Fianna Fáil at this stage have an identity crisis? Are they anti-austerity? Are they pro-business? Are they pro-workers? Fianna Fáil are definitely pro-workers. So where does Fianna Fáil see itself?
They have, to some extent, an identity crisis, and I agree that they have a psychological difficulty as well. They're behaving like a national carrier where they need to be a Ryanair. You know, they're the board telecom in the day when ESAT arrived. They assume they're still big, dominant. They're behaving still like a big, dominant market player, whereas in fact they need to be nimble, quick and young in everything they do. And I think they haven't made that shift.
Who's to blame there?
Of course leadership is to blame there. But I think in part it's that they haven't allowed an infusion of sufficient new thinking. And it's not just new thinking with new candidates and local elections. I mean, they're shockingly bad at, you'd think when the opportunity was there, for example, of letting in more female thinking and representation and candidate selection process. They should be bringing in new thinking in terms of party support, party research, party advisors, party reaching out to whole networks of community and civil society and other groups in terms of new policy development. You know, the time they should have been aiming for, they should have been planning for this moment when the government was going to slip, when the government was going to fall back.
Would you agree with that, dear Greeny? There's a certain lack of reform.
Well, sorry, first of all, let me say that I think Micheál Martin took on a huge task in taking over the party leadership when he did.
We know that. That's not the point.
Sorry.
The point is from now on.
Sorry. He took on a huge task when he took over the leadership. And then to continue that task, having the thrashing that we got into the 2011 election, where public commentators sitting around this table basically said we were over, we were going nowhere, right? So now that has changed. And yes, people would have been upset had we not done as well as we did in the local elections. That's kind of common sense. If politicians feel the party's going nowhere, who do you look for? Look to only the leadership and blame him or her, whoever the whatever the case may be. But the fact of the matter is, Cormac, that we did do well, that we are the largest party nationally in terms of local authority seats. So there is a building from the 20 seats that we have currently.
The question, I suppose, is from now on, is Fianna Fáil hampered by having Micheál Martin as leader? In fact, there's a correlation between what we discussed in terms of the European Parliament grouping and Micheál Martin's leadership now, because in terms of branding, if the ECR was bad branding for Fianna Fáil, is Micheál Martin, who in some people's eyes is contaminated by being a former minister in previous governments.
Well, listen,
is
everybody,
he bad branding as leader?
I've heard comments being made about me being contaminated and everybody in Fianna Fáil being contaminated. No, I don't think Micheál Martin is contaminated by the past. Look at, the man is doing, as far as I'm concerned, a good job. He has a huge uphill struggle. We all have to acknowledge that. It's no easy place being in the position that he's in, having had such a bad result the last time out. You know, I have said it already that I think the decision he took on the abortion legislation, giving a free vote, was a very brave decision, and some people are saying he was forced into it. Listen, he dealt with that challenge, I think, very, very well.
But Tom Kidd, could the public relate to a new generation, a new leader and new ideas at the helm of Fianna Fáil?
Well, first, Micheál Martin has gone about reforming the party. That's one of his huge priorities, in fact. And I would say, I think he will do that. He is doing the business and will. 2 points quickly on the group. That's why the issue we discussed tonight about Brian Crowley joining this conservative extreme group. I think that's an irrelevant issue because Micheál Martin, I feel like, has killed that off now. That is a branding issue that could have been dangerous for us. And I know it's not in the psyche right now, but it is an issue for the future. Noel mentioned the Ryanair versus the large carrier. I'd be more inclined to think of that still the carrier, the larger airline is the model, because Fianna Fáil is trying to be, I can see what he's trying to be responsible in opposition. And if you look at what he's doing, he's bringing up important issues, obviously, in relation to household debt, issues for infected individuals and couples, also the banking inquiry. I think, Pat, who knows what that might bring out. That may bring some good news for Fianna Fáil when we get the real picture out there. And thirdly, let's see. People like to hear the real story. And finally, I would say, and get it out of the way as well. He's very strong, in my view, on political reform. Anytime I've met him, I've encouraged him to keep going behind that issue. So,
yeah,
look,
can I just ask you about something you said there in terms of killing off the ECR as an issue for Fianna Fáil? Micheál Martin has also tried to kill off former ministers like Mary Hanafan and John O'Donoghue, possibly, who are trying to make a comeback. He's trying to kill off that old brand. But some people say the hypocrisy of that is that he's a former minister himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I looked at some of the local election results. There are former TDs who have been re-elected throughout the country. politics. So you, when I was, and some did not get elected. So many of the individual cases throughout the country depends on the strength of individuals. And the Mary Hanafin story is a classic one.
Would you question his blanket ban?
No, no, look, mistakes have been made, but there's not. Micheál Martin is one individual. Noel mentioned background people and strategists and headquarters. And let's have a look at that as well when you come to the Mary Hanafin stories. The Mary Hanafin, Kate Feeney, that was a good result in the end of the day, and there'll be no inquiry, as we know. That's politics.
Noel Whelan?
But, you know, don't hang Micheál Martin on all of these issues.
It was Micheál Martin who asked Mary to run in the first instance. Yeah, the fact that it was handled, I suppose the way it was handled, is a result of personality clashes. But he was the person who asked her to run in the first instance, and then it didn't work out.
It's a pity we don't have a camera on Noel Whelan.
But
he's wincing here from left to right.
That's what Mary Hanafin said.
He didn't introduce any ban on previous ministers running the local elections. The John O'Donoghue thing petered out itself. In fact, if I'm correct, they... Fianna Fáil headquarters there from Micheál Martin added Sean Power in Kildare, and as Deirdre knows well, there was no ban on Sean Haughey run in North Dublin. So quite the opposite, it's not correct to say. And as she says, he asked Mary Hanafin, or headquarters did, so again Micheál Martin asked Mary Hanafin, and in an experience similar to the one Eamon O'Keefe has just described, he then asked her not to. Later on the same day,
he asked her to wait before he submitted. Well, she said, Mary Hanafin says he asked me to wait before I submitted the nomination papers until they had discussions, and she didn't.
And she knew him well enough to know that she better have the party certificate affiliation in her hand in case he changed his mind.
Graham Burns by text says, Cormac, what's the panel's view on a Fianna Fáil Fine Gael coalition after the next election? Eamon O'Keefe.
Well, that'll be decided by the membership of the party, but to me, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would be totally incompatible. But it's interesting. Well, can I just explain one interesting thing for those who like statistics, and I love statistics and figures and facts. The average Fine Gael vote since 1923, taking Cumann na Gael into account, is about 30%. The average Labour vote is 10%. And whether you take it in an 80-year time frame or a 30-year time frame, the answer is exactly within 0.1% of the same average. So Fianna Fáil then had a very consistent 40%, and we're now down to 20%. So you have to say, where's the 20% gone? And the simple answer is, at the moment, it's gone to Sinn Féin. Now, this is a very interesting conundrum for Fianna Fáil.
And independence.
No. There's always been a wave up and down of independence. Can I explain? If you take the Fianna Fáil vote and the Sinn Féin vote, it's about 40. Now, independents go on a wave. The interesting thing is, as we have moved off what, you know, people understood as Irish republicanism, Sinn Féin got stronger. So this is a big dilemma and debate we're going to have to in Fianna Fáil. Where do we position Fianna Fáil on the political spectrum, and what consequences does that have for the long-term sustainability of the party as a big party or as a party of 20%? And that's a debate we need to have.
Is Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin a runner? Is Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin?
Well, no, that's not a runner anyway. We know that because Sinn Féin has said absolutely no.
Pat Leahy.
No, they haven't.
Well, they have.
No, they haven't.
Well, they have. Gerry Adams said absolutely no. Sorry.
This is one of the interesting questions about Fianna Fáil. Is a coalition with Fine Gael a political runner? Because on the numbers, to look at, say, the opinion polls over the last 2 years, consistently the only mathematically possible government after the next election would be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They are obviously ideologically and compatible in terms of economic policy. So that's a question.
So you're not in the party. I can speak for me.
Pat is talking about Micheál Martin's Fianna Fáil.
Well, I'm saying that the Fianna Fáil I know and I'm a member of would be totally incompatible with the kind of policy that Fine Gael are pursuing at the moment. Sorry,
but the
no
type
offense.
Of policy that Fine Gael are pursuing at the moment is the policy that was agreed with the Troika by Brian Lenihan and the last government, of which, if I'm not mistaken,
you were a member.
Well, you've just contradicted yourself.
No, I'm saying that the basic economic...
No, what Fianna Fáil has been doing for the last year or 18 months is opposing the detail of government economic policy and not opposing its central thrust. Because it's the policy that the last government...
Everyone comes in at the budget deficit and said we've agreed the budget deficit, that we have no choice but to get to 3%. And particularly since we joined the fiscal compact, we are absolutely humstrung. And it doesn't matter if all the left-wing, so-called left-wing independents got into government with Sinn Féin and whoever, they would be absolutely hamstrung by the deficit, because that is now part of the...
Okay, let me give Noel Whelan
There is every sign that the next election is actually going to come down to a decision between whether it's Sinn Féin and independents, predominantly left-wing independents, or Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government. Fianna Fáil, if it strategically, would probably make a decision not to commit either way before the election, but in the public mind, the concept of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as government together will harden and will do Fianna Fáil no... It's Fianna Fáil's best chance of going
to vote. We have to leave it there, but a quick look at tomorrow's Irish Times. The headline, Labour push Gilmore for Commissioner. Taoiseach's decision, though Fine Gael sources say position is earmarked for Hogan. My thanks to the panel this evening, Noel Whelan, Pat Leahy, Eamon O'Keefe, Tom Kitt and Deirdre Heaney. Wimshe agus an wedding their fad, slán agus bann.